Titus chapter 1, but in particular, verses 10 through 16. Beloved, let's give our attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word for His glory and for our own edification. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in His word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commandments of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Let's pray together. Father, we would say again, as we have said on many occasions, we would be a church that would live and walk in obedience to Your word, in faithfulness to what You have set before us, the pattern of sound doctrine and practice. We would be a church that would worship in a manner that is pleasing to You. Worship in a manner that is true. We would be a church that would serve as You have called us to serve. And Father, we read in Your word what we have here this morning. Help us to discern, to understand, to know the things that You would say to us, that we might grow as a body, that we might grow as a church, and that we might be a blessing not only to one another, but to other churches as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know we said a lot of things last week, but I want to ask you if you remember this distinction that I try to make between the being of the church and the good of the church, or to use the Latin phrase, the bene of the church. A lot of what Paul is saying here in Timothy and Titus and Philemon, letters written to pastors of churches, has to do with the good of the church, the growth of the church, the maturity of the church. That the church, having been established,